So tonight, what I want to do for the next 10 or 15 minutes is certainly a bit of a follow-on in some respects from what I was sharing on Sunday. I'm just picking up the theme of faithful obedience, thinking about obedience, that's how obedience results in the sort of blessing, which then actually in turn makes us a blessing to others as well. I think about how obedience in us can result in us being a blessing within our groups and to others around us. And I was thinking about it and thinking how it's very easy to make excuses to not do something or to avoid having to commit to a particular task. I'm sure it's not just me who thinks it's easy to make excuses and those things. But if it is just me, then you can pray for me at the end. But I think we often make these excuses because what is being asked is can feel quite unappealing. Maybe we start to think about what the cost or the consequences of those things might be, and it starts to make us think, I'm not sure if I really do want to commit to that, and we start to find other ways out. But I take great encouragement that there's plenty of examples in Scripture of those who I love it when you there are great heroes of faith, when you see when they're being called, when they're being asked to do something. You know, think of Moses. You know, he has a good attempt, doesn't he, at trying to get out of it. Yeah, I'm slow of speech, I'm this, I'm that, and you know, it's a wonderful interaction that we have there, and there are others, but I take encouragement from them doing the same sort of thing. But I also feel greatly challenged by their eventual faithful obedience to God, despite the seemingly high personal cost that there might be within what they are being called to. And then there's an 1800s Bible teacher, a man called A.W. Pink. I've got some great names of quotes for you tonight, but here, A.W. Pink. And he says, taking up my cross means a life voluntarily surrendered to God. It's just so simple, but it's taking up my cross. So I encourage you to take up your cross and follow me. You know, means a life voluntarily surrendered to God. Okay, God, I'm not going to try to do it in my own might, my own strength. I'm not going to give it over to my own plans. I say I'm surrendering myself, you know, whatever the cost personally might be, and I'm following you. So I very quickly want to revisit the faithfully obedient character of Ananias, who we spoke about on Sunday in his role in Saul's conversion. And hopefully this will lend itself to some helpful conversation. And if it doesn't even lead to conversation, hopefully it'll fuel some good prayer when we get going later as well. I won't read the whole thing for the sake of time, but I'll just pick up from verse 10 of Acts 9 that we were looking at on Sunday. So Acts 9, verse 10 to 19, I'll read. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. Come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regains his strength. So, a wonderful passage that we could just keep reading over and over again. But there's four things, really, I want to pull out from this tonight. That we can learn or that we can pray into from these interactions with Ananias. And so I'll just move through these relatively quickly. The first one is really around the respect of being willing despite our reservations. You know, we see this very much with Ananias, his willingness despite some real reservations. And I don't know about you, but if you ever struggle to go out of your way to help someone, to help a group of people who maybe are considered suspicious or intimidating or different to you. And certainly when you sit and think about Ananias' situation here, just imagine his hesitancy when the Lord asks him to give assistance to the one that, remember, the beginning of chapter 9, that scripture describes him as the one breathing out murderous threats. You know, as we said on Sunday, that's not softly, softly, is it? That's full on. That's an intimidating scenario. And I think most of us, and certainly know I can, be very mistrustful of those that maybe we don't know. And so we would do anything to avoid an encounter or meeting, a dangerous person like Saul, avoiding a situation similar to that. And yet what we find here is that God finds in Ananias a man who is willing to overcome his feelings of suspicion. He does this by obeying God's voice rather than his fears. You know, his fears are real. You know, let's not be mistaken. His fears were very real. And he didn't brush them aside. He didn't ignore them. He actually brought them to God. You know, it's important that we have that open dialogue with heaven whenever we're facing some of these things. But he didn't allow his fears to dictate the path and the road that he was to walk on. He brought his fears forward, but he allowed the voice of God to be the overriding authority into the situation. And actually, when we think about it, some of our greatest accomplishments, if you want to put it that way, they come as a result of actually simply just being available for God to work through an obedient servant. You know, it sounds very simple when we say that. In one sense, actually, it is quite simple. It comes back to that obedience to God. And here, I told you I had some good names of quotes for you. Here's a cracker for you tonight. I believe this is, I couldn't quite believe that this was a real name, so I had to Google it. And I think this is an evangelist from New Zealand, and his name is Winky Pratney. There's a name, isn't it? Winky Pratney, that's his name. But anyway, let's not get too distracted by his name. I just thought that was fascinating. But he says this when talking about willing hearts: God is looking for willing hearts. God has no favorites. You do not have to be special, but you have to be available. And I like the essence of what is being said there, in terms of it's not about how good you can do this or how good you can do that and so on and so forth. It's about the condition of the heart, and going back to that position of surrender and saying, okay, God, I am available. You know, it's that Isaiah passage of here I am, send me. And I find that challenging. So Ananias, he knew how to, as we look at it, he knew how to put away those suspicious feelings that he was having, those thoughts that were going through his mind. How did he do that? Well, because he knew God was greater than any situation or any person. You know, ultimately, when he stopped and he fixed his eyes in that direction, he knew God was greater than what lay ahead as such. And again, in Ananias, God found a man who was willing to set aside his feelings of, maybe his feelings of anger, and certainly of fear. You know, what was his attitude towards Saul? You know, news had traveled. It was a long distance, but news had traveled. He knew what had gone on and what had happened previously. But yet in this, he still chose to respond to the calling and the leading of God. And actually, when we think about it, you know, one of the best ways for us to overcome those feelings of fear, of anger, of bitterness, and so on and so forth, I see, you know, as we deal with those, we want to replace them with this loving, obedient to what God is telling us to do, and filling that void with his love. And we're blessed here at New Life, where we have the Sozo ministry, which plays such a big role in that, in helping to deal with those fears, those bitterness issues and things, and replacing it, you know, inviting the Spirit of God to come and replace it with his love. And so that's a good thing for us to be praying, that, that God does deal with those in us, those feelings of fear, anger and resentment, you know, as we're determined to follow him. The second thing, I'll be much quicker in these ones. The second thing is this, and we don't just see it in this passage, we see it through scripture, don't we? That forgiveness brings life. You know, it's the beautiful truth of the gospel. Forgiveness brings life. And Ananias, he knew how to follow what's, you know, the teachings of Jesus. When we think of the teaching of Jesus in Matthew 6, you know, in that passage that, you know, that we know is the Lord's Prayer. You know the line that I'm going to go to, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And, you know, and to forgive someone, you know, we need to be willing to give up that resentment we might be holding, you know, that desire for them to get their comeuppance or such, or whatever those thoughts may be. But again, here was a man really who wanted others to realize that as Christ had forgiven him, so he felt the freedom to extend that forgiveness. He wasn't just out working, you know, the message that God had given him, but actually he had to do some personal business himself because of what he had known that Saul had been involved with and been part of. And really, it's only when we fully appreciate the magnitude of Christ's forgiveness that actually we can grow in that desire, that ability to forgive others. Thirdly, we are part of God's family. You know, I'm not telling you anything new. These are just hopefully helpful reminders. You know, I just find this amazing. I love how Ananias begins his relationship with Saul. You know, with those words, he says, "Welcome, brother Saul." You know, we read a few lines on a page, but just put yourselves into that whole situation. Those are incredibly powerful words, because immediately this humble man is welcoming Saul as a brother in the family of Christ. You know, what an amazing thing to be witnessing off the pages of scripture here. You know, and even that word brother, you know, that word brother that he uses, it's expressing, you know, that he's bound already by ties of a new sort of kinship. You know, here is the old has gone, the new has come. Here is the new relationship. And in this new relationship, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you are my brother. And we will walk forward from that place. And actually, the reality is that we live in a world that is becoming increasingly hostile to one another. We see that in you know, major scenes across our news, but we see that in other ways as well. And actually, it's only through an obedient love that comes from a spirit-filled life, my tongue twister tonight, can, you know, these things that we see Ananias doing, this obedient faith, you know, can those things be accomplished? We mustn't ever move away from the importance of that spirit-filled life, you know, that Christ has shown to, that his Spirit is dwelling in us, enabling us and leading us. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 35, "But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked." And we need to ask the Lord, we need to pray, God, will you help us to obey you in our expression of love to those who are least deserving of it, in the power of the Spirit. And then lastly, trust in his message. You know, I think there is always a great temptation to each of us. I'm saying each of us, it certainly is to me, to attempt to add to the message in order to make it, in our eyes, more appealing. In other words, water it down, soften it a bit, to try and avoid any rejection that might possibly come. What did Ananias do? Ananias, he told Saul what he needed to hear. You know, we just get a tiny little snippet, but there was greater conversation. But he said, Jesus has sent me. This is what Jesus told him to do. Jesus has sent me so that you might see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Ananias didn't know how Saul would react, but he spoke the words of truth that God had given him. You know, we are to tell people what they need to hear, even whenever, even when we harbor some suspicion in our heart about what their response might be. Let's face the reality. None of us like rejection. You know, we want to be accepted. We want to be heard on all of those things. But actually, we have to trust God with the outcome in those settings and situations. And so we need to ask God for courage in terms of to speak the how, the when, and to find out to whom he directs us to communicate with. Let me finish with this quote from Oswald Chambers. He says, "All of God's people are ordinary people who have been made extraordinary by the purpose that he has given them." You know, again, it's just bringing that down, that we can fall into the trap of saying, well, I'm not this or I'm not that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, actually, all of God's people are ordinary people who have been made extraordinary by the purpose that he has given them. So here's a couple of questions to look at. Hopefully there'll be some things that you can discuss from that. If not, there's plenty of things that should be a platform for prayer as we as a church, as we as life groups, as we as individuals, as we as family units seek to be faithfully obedient to what God's speaking. But a lot of what we've looked at both on Sunday and then today is all based around hearing the voice of God. So my question, my first question really is, or my questions are, what are some of the barriers that you face in A, hearing God's voice in terms of, you know, how he speaks to you, how he speaks to us? What are some of the barriers that you face in hearing God's voice? Secondly, what are some of the barriers that you face in acting on what you have heard or what you have been prompted by? So what are some of the barriers that you face in acting on what you've heard, what you've been prompted by? Thirdly, what if anything do you do to overcome those barriers? And so this is an opportunity just to share our own experiences, and something that you maybe are challenged with is easier for someone else and vice versa, and hopefully there'll be some mutual help within that. Lastly, if you get to what might faithful obedience look like for you as a life group in your witness and reaching out to those around you? So what might faithful obedience, or what could faithful obedience look like for you as a life group in your witness and reaching out to those around you? Bit long-winded, that one. Sorry about that. Does that make sense? Yeah, got a thumbs up. One thumbs up. I'll take that. I'll seize that. No problem. A second one. Thank you, Nick. Very kind of you. Okay. Where's my clock gone? 1:30. So we've got about just under 30 minutes. We're going to go into our life groups. This will give us an opportunity to discuss those things. I say discuss it or just use it as a springboard and a platform for praying as a group, praying together, praying for the life of the church as well. And then I will bring us all back together again just around about 9:00. So please say yes to your group, unless I've put you in the wrong one, in which case say no and wait on this page and I'll get you sorted out. So here we go.